And we're going to be talking about the Brett Kavanaugh hearing confirmation. And we have a couple of reporters who were actually at one of the days of the hearing in here with us, and they can talk a little bit about what they saw while they were at the Capitol that day.
Hi, I'm Samantha Rosen.
I'm Jared Goldstein.
So we sat in the hearing for about 5 hours last week, and it kind of seems like we sat in a hearing that just went in circles and circles and circles for 5 hours with nothing really being said or getting accomplished. I think that every question was redirected and just not answered. And the most exciting part was the release of the quote-unquote confidential documents, which we later found out were not confidential at all.
It was definitely very much like what you see on TV, where the Democratic senators asked hard questions that may or may not have ended up being answered, and Republican senators kind of threw out some softball questions and praised Kavanaugh's record. We were in kind of the back of the room, so we were very near the public section, which was interesting every time some protesters would stand up to see how Kavanaugh and how the rest of the senators kind of handled that as it went on. Some of them got offended, some of them said nothing.
The minority whip, Durbin, he made a comment about the protesters, very much in support of democracy and in support of the protesters. I think the quote was, "I don't know who they are, who organized them, but this is a vital part to democracy and we should be very thankful that they're here," which I thought was, sitting in the press gallery, really an important statement towards press freedom, towards democracy, towards human rights, especially in such a controversial hearing. And every senator did, both Republicans and Democrats, did bring up how this hearing has been very controversial. I think the Democrats stressed more so than the Republicans the importance of this hearing and the fact that this is really going to determine the fate of so many lives over the next however many years. The Republicans actually, I feel like, kind of tried to stray away from the influence that this one person could have, but it was very apparent that it was extremely controversial between protesters, between both sides, everything.
For those of you who don't know, Justice Brett Kavanaugh was nominated to the Supreme Court on July 9th. He poses the potential second confirmation for the Trump administration since Trump was elected in November of 2016. However, Republicans have withheld millions of pages of documents, and Democrats are saying that they won't vote without them. So this hearing is being held up a little bit. If Kavanaugh is confirmed to replace Justice Anthony Kennedy, it will throw off the balance in the Supreme Court a lot. Kennedy regularly voted with liberals, and Kavanaugh, throughout his career as a judge, has decidedly been conservative. So there could be some change there. What do you guys think this says for both the court and for, you know, D.C. politics in general, if the Republicans get a hand on the Supreme Court?
Well, just kind of to your point about throwing off the balance, this would make John Roberts the median judge in terms of, you know, liberal to conservative. And he has traditionally been right of center as well. So it's a decidedly conservative court at that point, or would be at that point. So I think that's just kind of important, you know, as it relates to potential challenges to Roe v. Wade, to a litany of other potential cases that could come up, you know, as they work their way through the, you know, the court system in America. So it'll just be kind of interesting to see, you know, if this plays out like that, how those statutes would hold up if they did. Kavanaugh made a point to talk about precedent a lot, but also didn't say whether he would let precedent stand if, you know, if he had the opportunity to rule on a case such as, you know, a challenge to Roe v. Wade.
It's also coming at a time, as the Democrats repeatedly mentioned, where the Trump era has had some questionable decisions made by the president, and the 25th Amendment has been brought up a couple times. So Kavanaugh was questioned on how he would handle whether Trump was indicted, whether he was brought into court, whether he was asked to be questioned. And that was one of the issues that was repeatedly just avoided every time it was asked. And one of the things that, as I said, went in circles and circles, but something that continuously got pressed.
Yeah, Sam brought up an interesting point about Kavanaugh's potential to expand executive power if he's confirmed, not only because the Supreme Court will maintain a Republican majority, but also because of Kavanaugh's relationship with the president. But while this fear is well-founded, Kavanaugh said in one of his hearing days that he's not afraid at all through his 12 years of service to invalidate executive power. So, you know, it's important that he's recognizing the court's role in checking the other branches of government. So I think that shows that he might be taking this a little more seriously than many people are giving him credit for.
Yeah, he said that, but he also, every time it was brought up, which is a true statement, he's not allowed to talk about current issues because he is a standing judge, so he's not allowed to discuss things that may come before him in court because that may show how he's going to rule at the time. Although he did not say that the precedent isn't there, he did say he did refuse to directly comment on it because he is a standing judge, which is fair. However, it kind of makes you question whether he's just avoiding it to avoid it or whether he has true reason to avoid it.
So look for more updates in that hearing as they get closer to a vote, and we will try to keep you updated as well.